Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Off the Post. I'm Russ Cohen. We've got Anthony Mangione. Ant, how are you?
Doing good, Russ. You?
Good. So, as we've been promoting on Twitter, a little later we'll give away a box of 2015-16 Upper Deck buybacks. You can get a really great card from the past, autographed. Basically, Upper Deck reclaimed a lot of cards and got them signed by the players and then repackaged it. So that's what this product is. It's pretty popular. So it's a reward
cool.
for our listeners. We also have a Nick Ehlers interview, so what will probably happen is we'll probably run a little bit into overtime with the interview.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we'll probably sign off, and I'll let the Ehlers interview play. It's a real good interview. Great guy. So we'll do that. But we're going to welcome in Michael Jello from Hockey Buzz, because we've got to talk about the Red Hot Leafs, 5 out of 6. You know, I see on Twitter there's a Vezina watch for James Reimer. Mike, how are you?
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm fine in spite of the outcome of tonight's game. I'm sure the members of Tank Nation are searching for the nearest bridge.
You're now in 25th place. You're just a point away from 21st place. This is everything that the Leafs could hope for when they brought in Mike Babcock.
Yeah, I note the hint of sarcasm in your voice, Mr. Cohen. I mean, this, you know, I mean, let's just say the Buffalo Sabres won 25 games, you know. So, the Maple Leafs, Mike Babcock is getting the most out of what I consider a subpar roster. You know, Nazem Kadri is third in the league in shots on goal, and I think scored his first goal in 81 shots. Tonight. So, you know, and the funny thing is that at the beginning of this hot streak that they had, they were playing well but weren't winning games. Now they're not playing well at all. I mean, they were outshot by Carolina 31-20 during regulation, and only by the grace of God and James Reimer did they get a point out of this game, and then he stopped 4 or 5 shots in the shootout to get, and then Lupul scored to get them the victory. So, you know, eventually this win streak and this improved play will end, and I think the Leafs will come back to earth and be the Leafs.
Mike, is Reimer moving himself in position to staying with the Leafs, or do you think he's moving himself more in position where he's going to – the Leafs are looking to cash out as much as they can with him playing as well?
I mean, the goaltending situation is sort of in flux right now because I don't think Jonathan Bernier is going to get them anything on the trade market because he's 0-6-1. And, you know, the game in New York last Sunday where it was his first game in a little under 3 weeks and he lets in a goal from center ice. And, you know, Mike Babcock was not too pleased. And immediately after the game, you know, they asked him what they thought of Bernier's play, and he says, well, Reimer starting next game. That he didn't even acknowledge Bernier's, you know, performance. Reimer is playing well, but he's playing for his professional career. But the thing is the Leafs have gone down this road with Reimer a couple times. They've signed him to, you know, an extension, you know, thought that he was their, you know, number one goaltender, and he has continually dropped the ball. I don't think with this new administration, even though Reimer has played well over the last 3 weeks, that really is going to convince them of anything. I don't think they get anything in a trade for Bernier. I do think if Reimer continues to play like he is, they could get a second or a third round pick. So I think that's eventually where they're going to go.
All right. So we know where the team is. We sort of know where they're headed. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, right now they're surprising. Let's talk a little bit about the Marlies, because that's where a lot of their future talent is. And let's get a Nylander update. William Nylander, where's he at? I think the last time I spoke to you, you said he was like leading the league in scoring or close to that.
I believe he's third in the AHL in scoring. He had an assist on the game-winning goal in in Rochester on Wednesday. They went 6-0-1 on a 7-game road trip, which is fairly impressive. And the thing was that their number one goaltender at the time, I mean, they were playing Antoine Bebo a little more than Garrett Sparks. And because of Bernier's injury, Bebo was called up to back up Reimer up with the Leafs. So Sparks got all the starts and got 5 of the 6 wins.
Mm-hmm.
So, he played very well. And I talked to Sheldon Keefe on Wednesday and asked him what they were going to do in terms of the goaltending. And he said that they were going to still split the duty between the two, in spite of Sparks playing so well. But Nylander has been their best player. I believe he has 20 points now. He doesn't seem fazed by the AHL at all. He's only 19, but he seems very comfortable. But there is still room for improvement. Defensively, he still needs to learn a few things, and he needs to learn how to play against bigger, more experienced players. He's not perfect down there, and I think that's the justification that the organization is going to use to keep him down there for most of the season.
Mike, locally, at least one of the young defensemen on the Marlies, who's originally from South Jersey, is TJ Brennan. He's off to a pretty good start here with 6 goals and 13 points in 15 games. Mm-hmm. Do you see him at some point this season sort of pushing the envelope and potentially getting a decent opportunity possibly with the Leafs?
It's possible, depending on what Lou Lamoriello does with the Leafs defense. Whether he – and I'm expecting them to trade Roman Polak at some time during the season. You know, he's an unrestricted free agent and, a commodity with a reasonable salary, so I think he'll be moved out. And if there is ever a deal involving Dion Phaneuf, which he's playing very well and Babcock is really talking him up in terms of his leadership, I'm not sure if that's just, if that's just pumping tires, if that's actual reality. But, if they move a couple bodies out on the Leafs, they have a couple defensemen that they have been sitting that are on the 23-man roster, like Frank Corrado, who they picked up just mm-hmm. before the season and hasn't played a game. And they alternate Scott Harrington and Martin Marincin. To make a long speech short, I think there are enough defensemen in between those two guys who are not playing all the time and Brennan that Brennan probably will stay with the Marlies. He's playing very well, and his experience is needed with the Marlies. They have a lot of 20, 21, 22-year-old defensemen, and I don't think they want to risk calling him up and then exposing him to waivers because some team might claim him.
All right, so let's talk about the what I would call preposterous notion that Bob McKenzie was reporting that the Leafs are considering not sending their guys to the World Juniors, meaning Kapanen and Nylander. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense to me. So they're going to keep them in the AHL so they could play 3 or 4 AHL games, which will do exactly what for them in their career, rather than playing for their country and potentially winning a gold medal and playing against, better competition for those couple of weeks. Because those are really, a lot of those guys will never even hit the AHL. And it's no slight to the AHL. We know it's the second best league in the world. But mm-hmm. when they have a chance to send guys to something like this and they're not losing them off the NHL roster, which I get when teams hold a guy back because of that, this makes no sense, Mike.
Yeah, I'm with you, Russ. I'm skeptical of it. I don't doubt Bob McKenzie and the source that he has, but I really would seriously doubt that Brendan Shanahan, Lou Lamoriello, Kyle Dubas, Mark Hunter, and the Maple Leaf management have not put any thought into the fact that William Nylander and Kasper Kapanen are not going or whether they will or won't go. I'm sure that they've
And it's in Finland.
Decided. Yeah, especially the fact that Kapanen had a pretty weak 2015 World Junior. He didn't do very well. Nylander was fairly impressive. And his 17-year-old younger brother, Alexander, might be on the team. So, he's playing very well for Mississauga in the OHL. I mean, I don't know if he's going to make it. He didn't play for them in Lake Placid this summer. But with the totals that he's putting up in the OHL, it's possible that he makes it. And I would think that him and his older brother would be a pretty good combo for Team Sweden. So I just can't see the Leafs having any kind of justification for denying them to go to the World Junior and playing against the best 17, 18, and 19-year-old players in the world. It doesn't make any sense just for, you know, them playing in 6 or 8 AHL games over 3 weeks. It doesn't add up. So I think they're eventually going to go. I just think right now they don't want to say that they're going to go.
Mike, in looking at the Sheldon Keith and the way that the Marlies are playing, how close would you say the systems and things that Keith is implementing mirrors more or less what Mike Babcock's looking to have once he has his players coming up?
They're on the same page. I mean, I know that they're working together. I know that they talk frequently in terms of, you know, just stylistically. I mean, the Maple Leafs have switched to primarily to a 1-3-1 power play. The Marlies have done the same thing. The level of talent, obviously, for the league, I think the Marlies actually have more offensive talent than the Leafs do. Especially when Connor Brown was healthy, their power play was very effective and very very potent. But they are using the same system, so I think they definitely think they're on the same page. And it's one thing, I remember a few years ago when a player like Nazem Kadri was called up, and you know Dallas Eakins was the coach with the Marlies, and he was called up, and Ron Wilson was the coach of the Leafs. Kadri didn't know what was going on, didn't know what kind of system that Ron Wilson was using, and that was to the detriment of Kadri because he had a really tough time, you know, learning what Wilson wanted to do. I think that these young players that are on the Marlies now are going to have a very easy or an easier transition to the NHL a year or two down the line because they're playing the same style.
And let's talk for a minute about some of their OHL and other prospects. You know, Marner is off to a great start. Timoshov had 2 goals tonight. So they certainly, you know, they had the pipeline going. We don't know where they're going to pick this year, even though you think they're going to pick right at the bottom, but, you know, we can't say that yet. But
right.
But the pipeline's pretty strong already. It's getting there. And so you saw a couple guys in Erie recently. How do you think the and I would say, I can't say these are their best prospects because really still Nylander is their best, but some of their other better prospects, how are they doing?
Well, I think Nylander and Marner are the top two, obviously. I saw Travis Dermott last night in St. Catharines with Erie playing Niagara, had an assist. Second round pick, he's a very polished, very skilled defenseman, good speed, decent shot. Has a good head on his shoulders, has some offensive creativity. I think, you know, the thing that he's going to have to improve on is, you know, his overall strength and, you know, his wherewithal in his own defensive zone, but that will come with time. He had an excellent training camp with the Leafs. He played well at their rookie tournament in London, and I know that that Babcock was impressed with him. And Andrew Nielsen, their third-round pick, who's playing for Lethbridge right now, and putting up offensive totals that – you know, if you looked at his offense last year, I think he had 24 points. He's almost eclipsed that right now in less than 2 months. He's really impressed. And Babcock, again, was impressed with him. Jeremy Bracco, and we know the story about him leaving BC for Kitchener.
Yep.
He's playing very well. Kitchener is a very good team. He's been playing on their number one line with Ryan McGinnis. And I think that opportunity to play a primary role with a very good OHL team was one of the reasons why he left Boston College. But
and
I
those
think,
two are buddies. Like, they know each other. They played together in the All-American Prospects game. They're used to each other from the USA system. So that's a good situation for Bracco to walk into.
Right. And, I mean, obviously, you know, Bracco is going to try to light it up at the World Junior in Helsinki. I mean, I think he's pretty much a shoo-in to make that team. Maybe even play with McGinnis there. But, Mark Hunter, and not just my opinion, but a lot of people's opinion, had a very good, you know, draft, a very good first draft with the Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
And Toronto has 13 picks in the 2016 draft, even if they don't finish last overall and, you know, pick Austin Matthews. I mean, I think Hunter – in his first go-around, did a pretty good job. But, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with these players. It's going to take 2 or 3 years for them to really develop, and we'll find out what they end up doing. But Toronto's system is a lot better than it was a couple years ago.
My couple of the guys I wanted to definitely ask you about, and again, this is sort of shifting back again to the Marlies a little bit. Brendan Lepsic, who I know they acquired as part of the France and trade, and also Nikita Shoshkinov, in terms of they seem to be off to pretty solid starts this year. I know Lepsic's obviously a little bit undersized, but is he kind of one of those guys that could be sort of an under the radar guy that could sort of potentially slip into the National Hockey League and just by his style of play?
Well, if you would have asked me that question at the end of last year, I would have said yes. With the influx of, a new crop of players with the Marlies, it seems that Leipzig is playing a little more of a secondary role. I mean, he scored the winning goal against Rochester on Wednesday. I believe he only has two goals right now this season. He's got speed. He's got offensive ability, no doubt. The size factor is a question, and with this recent draft, a lot of players, Marner, Bracco, a few others, Timoshov, their size was not a consideration. It was definitely a skill draft for Mark Hunter, and Leipzig sort of fits in that situation. But he, at the end of last year, was playing on one of the top lines. And in a lot of offensive opportunities. Now it seems that Connor Brown and Nylander have sort of superseded him, and then the veteran guys on the Marlies like Josh Levo. Shoshnikov is another player who is sort of, I think, in a way, a little ahead of Leipzig. He had experience in the KHL. He's converted over to the North American game pretty well. He's got all the ability, and he doesn't seem phased, and he's pretty strong along the wall. For a smaller guy, he's very tough to knock off the puck and has, excellent skills. So, I mean, I think it's a possibility that at the end of the year when the Maple Leafs start to trade off some of the 1 or 2 year contract players that they added during the summer, that Shoshnikov, who I believe is 21 or 22, he might be one of the guys who gets a look up in the NHL.
All right, we're going to switch gears to the All-Star game, and Sportsology will certainly have coverage there. It looks like it's going to be Jonathan West, not me. It looks like I'm going to go out to I'm going to try and maybe go out to Denver and cover one of the Stadium Series games out there, because they're going to have a pretty great alumni game out there. But the All-Star game's going 3-on-3. I like the idea. I know that, Mike, we talked about it earlier in the week, and you weren't as curmudgeon-y as you usually are for the All-Star game. And the I heard an interview yesterday with Eric Staal on the Sports Central show, and he said that even with his financial status, $1 million is still a lot of money to him, because he's a kid from Thunder Bay who used to work on the farm. But then he also said, even if I didn't think it was a lot of money, a lot of people will let me know it's a lot of money. So he sounded pretty excited. And I have a feeling a lot of players will feel the same way. How do you feel?
Well, I mean, I think that the competitive juices of these hockey players, I mean, I've heard stories about players, selling out for $20 just for pride, to so I mean, if it's $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, I think they're probably gonna not kill each other, but I think it's gonna be a much more entertaining game. I mean, let's be honest, the All-Star game has been a bore for probably most of the last two decades. I hate it. I mean, I'm a hockey fan. I'm a hockey lifer. I love the game, but the All-Star game, I don't need to go.
I wouldn't say bore, but I get what you're saying. But last year it was a little rough. But like I said, the Cannon was the big star last year for sure.
And when the Cannon is the star, Russ, I mean, come on, they had to do something. So
yeah.
I applaud the NHL for their thinking outside the box. I will be an interested party here. I will watch the 3-on-3. See how competitive it is, and I hope it is, and I hope it's entertaining. If it's not, and I think I said this on one of the recent Buzzcasts, do away with the game. I think you fold in the skills competition into the Winter Classic, and you create an event or craft it around the Winter Classic, and just forget the All-Star game, because if this doesn't work, I don't see where they go with it.
I think that one's crazy. I'm sure you saw the AHL All-Star Classic setup for this year, right, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
It's in Syracuse. Let's just say I'm not hopping on the 90 to drive to that thing. So no.
No. Come on,
no.
Mike.
No. All-star games are just not for me, but some of the, you know, I'm at least intrigued by the NHL concept. The AHL, you know, I'm not going there.
All right, fair enough. And what's your thinking on the NHL All-Star game, though?
Well, again, I'll echo Mike with regards to how, you know, the All-Star game in recent years has just been sort of it's been a bore. I mean, in many ways, it's fun in some ways, but again, it kind of sort of, I don't want to say outlived what its original intention was. Again, it's kind of been kind of a tough spot for them, I'd say, but I kind of like it just from the change of pace perspective to see how this is going to go. It really sort of promotes, I think, the 3-on-3, and we've all seen how exciting it's been. Since I call it circus hockey, I mean, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of, you know, high pace of play and certainly the cash award there, I'm good for trying this year and seeing how it looks. And then if it, you know, keep it in place, then it's something that'll be fun for the fans. And that's really, at the end of the day, that's what most people are looking at and trying. I just want to get there and have a good time. And I think, you know, this is a worthy experiment.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, listen, Mike, we appreciate you joining us. We'll probably do a little Flyers and Rangers chat for a few minutes and then get our caller on and our winner. But we appreciate you coming on and know that you'll be very happy with a couple more Leafs wins in the next few games. And, you know, go Leafs go. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Russ. Thank you, Anthony.
Thanks, Mike.
You can check out Mike at hockeybuzz.com. He's great. All right, so Ant, flyer wise, we'll just touch on the game the other night. It was just an absolute bore. It was like anything you didn't want to see in a game, you saw. It was like the sleepy road team deciding we're not going to make a mistake against the home team that's deciding they're not going to make a mistake. And
mm-hmm.
for a couple of periods, nobody wanted to make a mistake, and they didn't. And,
yeah.
you know, then it rolls into OT, and then things happen, and then they get a loss. And the disconcerting part is that, like, the coach, the players, no one will really talk about the fact that, hey, nobody thought they were going to be a great team, but nobody thought they'd be last in the league in scoring.
No, I don't think a lot of people thought that. But again, in my mind, was it a possibility that it could happen? You know, again, we talked about, you and I have talked about this before, about how critical in the NHL today transitional play is and how quickly your defensemen are going to be able to get the puck up to the forwards. The forwards can't always carry it, you know, the length. And again, in Philadelphia's case, I just feel, again, that their blue line is a subpar blue line. And it's, you know, the key is always, in terms of any kind of offense to be floated, it's always spacing. The thing is for Philadelphia is that their 5-on-5 play have been a real sore spot, and their specialty teams last year was what kind of, you know, the power play carried them. The power play certainly goes down, and as such, the 5-on-5 play, which has had its moments of being pretty good. I'd say in the San Jose game, they actually did a decent job in terms of puck possession at times. It's just, again, they were not able to cash in on the chances that they had. And at the end, I think there's a lot of frustration with regard to that. Again, when you see a guy, an offensive catalyst like a Jake Voracek struggling as much as he has, it covers up for a lot of other things. When he is going well, it covers up for a lot of other things. And again, we're seeing a lot of, they're having a lot of difficulty here. They were expecting more offensive numbers out of Sean Couturier. Does he, as you and I talked about the other day, does he need to shoot a little bit more? Yeah, I think he does need to shoot a little bit more. You know, even though he's a centerman in this case, they do need him to be more of a catalyst. But again, I look at Couturier and I have to wonder now, as we're getting, you know, at a certain point of his career, if we're seeing pretty much the max out of what he potentially is capable of in terms of the fact that he's really good. I think we all know he's a really good defensive player. You match him up. But is he more than a high-end third line center? Well, again, the Flyers invested, you know, with the hope that he was going to turn into that, and at least
yep.
so far in the first year, it, you know, that he, his line with Matt Reed and Wayne Simmons is just, they, you know, they've been, in terms of getting cashing in on scoring chances, they just haven't done it.
No doubt. All right. So as far as the contest goes, I am going to give out our number, 347-994-1040. It's 347-994-1040. First caller gets it. I'm going to talk about the Rangers now and just say that the interesting thing is, as well as they're doing, and they lost to Tampa yesterday, and Tampa just seems to be that one team that knows how to counterpunch
mm-hmm.
them and could hang in there with them, play transition with them, has the same push from the blue line as them, similar goaltending. So they're really, you know, they're really a great matchup for them in every way, size, speed, all that. The interesting thing is, you know, you still look at a player like Rick Nash, and I looked up some numbers recently on him, and I can't figure out how many primary assists he has, but he only has 8, and he's got 10
mm-hmm.
points. And so obviously it's not just a bad start now. Now it's like he's really, you know, he might be playing great on the penalty kill, but you're not paying him $7.9 million just to be a grinder, right? So
no,
he's getting
not.
Shots off, but he's getting 24.8 shifts a game, which is second most out of the – actually, no, it's the most out of the forwards, and it's probably like fourth most on the team. And some of that is because he does play on the shorthanded end, but you still get scoring opportunities shorthanded. And so the end of the day, he's getting the most opportunity on the power play and everything else. It's really mind-boggling at this point. I know he doesn't get in the net front of the net enough. We know that, but we're just, you know, we can't even bother talking about that anymore. But
yeah.
What's going to break Rick Nash out of this? Because, yeah, look, this streak is great that the Rangers were in. The streak's gone now. And
mm-hmm.
at some point, they're going to need him to contribute.
No question about that. And I think they certainly have had, they've been fortunate. Oscar Lindbergh, I think, has played. Kevin Hayes have started off with really solid campaigns this year. So in some ways, again, that kind of covers it. Again, for the Rangers, the problem is in terms of flexibility in the future with Nash. Again, you know, it's just, they're just not getting what is expected at the amount of money that he's being paid. I mean, the fortunately, again, at this point, they have the players to sort of compensate for that. But as time goes on and you have to start considering contracts and everything, that's a big iceberg, you know, in the way there for
it
New
is.
York. And Nash, you know, he's expected to play at a certain level. And again, he hasn't been, it's been that way for him. He'll have these spurts and moments where you think, oh, he's ready to become the Rick Nash of old. And then it just sort of dissipates. And that's again, a challenge that New York is going to have, certainly going into the future here with regards to contracts and things of that sort.
All right, I'm going to give out the number one last time, 347-994-1040. If nobody calls in, it will roll over to the next show. So that's all I could say about that. One last thing, you know, Carey Price is back. Montreal certainly won that game against the Islanders and frustrated the Islanders a little bit. I mean, the Islanders scored 3 goals. But at the end of the day, just the amount of lift that the Canadians get from Carey Price is incredible.
Yeah, I mean they've been actually fortunate in many ways with Mike Condon.
Mike Condon.
I think
he
really came up, and we often talked before about you know, the short run that Dustin Tokarski had a couple of years ago, but again he's. You know, he's playing. He's now with the Ice Caps right now. But Condon really did a nice job. 2.23 goals against, 9.13 save percentage. Again, all to a good start. But again, at the end of things, Carey Price is the guy who's going to carry things through. And again, 10 games he's in, and he's got a 9.34 save percentage. It's just been 2 shutouts in 10 of the games played. I mean, we all know Carey Price is probably is.
I think he's the best.
He's
you
right
could
there.
Say it. I mean, it's
yeah,
him
I think so. Yeah, no, he's the. I mean, I got to look at. I got him right now. Certainly the best. I'm in terms of looking at the modern era between. He's the best goalie that Montreal's had since Patrick Waugh. I think. I don't think there's any question about that. I'm not speaking out of turn there. Again, the key is.
No, I mean, look, Theodore had the year where he racked up all the awards.
He did.
He had a couple of really good years, but not like this.
But there's something about. But there's something about Price. Price has certain the staying power. I think he's gone through the early part of his, you know, the rough early part of his career. He knows now, being in Montreal, what's expected, and he's performing to those expectations. And I think he's in a fairly comfortable groove. Now, again, he does, in order for him to get into that, you know, truly rarefied stratosphere, he's got to have extended postseason success and get the Canadiens to the final and try to, you know, and win a cup, I think.
Yeah.
And then we can really start discussing him in the all-timers. But he's been outstanding. And, again, Montreal really takes their cues off him, no question.
Yep. All right, listen, I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to play this interview with Nikkoli Ehlers, and we'll catch everybody next week.
Take care, everybody.
West Home, David Wright at the NHLPA Rookie Showcase with Nikkoli Ehlers, Winnipeg Jets. So what do you think your chances are making the team this year?
Well, I think I have pretty good chances. You know, it's the same for everybody who's going to camp. They want to make the team this year. They're all going to work hard for it, so it's going to be tough. But I'm going to give everything I have and try to make that team.
I thought you were the best player in the World Juniors. It was a shame you didn't get to play more games, but you probably felt like you had a pretty good showing otherwise, right?
It was an amazing experience for sure. You know, we didn't have the best team on paper, but we had a great team chemistry that brought us those points that we needed. So it was pretty exciting for sure.
Now you were talking about being tough and, you know, the toughness that it's going to take to make the NHL parent club. Now, what's the toughness going to be like to withstand those cold winters that are in Winnipeg?
I think I'll be fine with it. You know, I don't care that much about the weather. I know that some people say that it's going to be crazy cold, and I think I'm ready for that.
What about if you got to plug your car in now, right, with the car battery thing and stuff? I don't know. That's a little different.
Yeah, that's okay. You know, there's nothing you can do about it. So,
what about the warm weather? Are you okay with like 90 degrees and humid? You like that?
I'd rather just have it nice, just the sun out and some good weather. Yeah.
Like somewhere in between.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So growing up, what's different from hockey then as to hockey now? Because the game keeps changing.
Well, it's a lot faster. You know, there's a lot of good players. It's a tough game. You know, everybody is a good hockey player now. It's tough to play now.
Now you've played in both international rinks and the North American style rinks. Now a lot is made about larger size rinks being able to slow the game down. Do you find that being on the ice that it actually can slow the game down, or do you think that the speed just adapts to the size of the arena?
I think that now the game is a lot faster on the smaller ice than it is on the big ice. Which is, for me, it's great. You know, I can use my speed. It's a faster game for sure.
What's the easiest way to beat Josh Morrissey on the rush?
Just skate.
Just skate. That thing, you just have to skate.
Just have to skate to beat him.
I don't think so, but I guess.
What's the easiest way to stop Ehlers?
Right. You got to have a good stick because he's too slippery to hit him. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
And what about when you guys, is it funny when you guys become teammates but you've played against each other before? Is there like a switch you have to turn off?
I think it's just good stories, good, you know, ribbing. I mean, we got him at World Juniors, so I'll take that one. But
well, thanks, guys. Listen, good luck this upcoming season. And Josh, we didn't ask you, but what do you think of the Winnipeg winners?
Well, I'm from out west in Canada and been to played my 3.5 years as a junior in Saskatchewan and Prince Albert, so I'm used to the winters, and I got a nice big warm down jacket, so yeah, I'm prepared, ready to go.
Good to go. All right, good luck this season, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll see everybody next week.